Yo, the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast, we're going live, okay? Me and G Moody. The tour continues May 9th. We're at the Chapel in San Francisco. May 11th, we're in Seattle. And May 13th, we are in Vancouver, British Columbia. The show is going live. G, how are you feeling about the live shows?
Man, I am anxious. I'm ready to go. Yo, I love that. I love the stage stuff, man. I like interacting with the fans. It's dope.
Yo, if you want to come see us in San Fran, Seattle, or in Vancouver, tickets are available at www.ironrapaporttour.com. The young shooter, Dean Collins, will be joining us in San Fran. Maybe if he acts right, we'll bring him to Seattle. I don't know. He might drive everybody nuts. That's my man, 50 grand. Always washes up with his dick in his hands. Go to www.ironrapaporttour.com to see us live starting May 9th in San Fran at the Chapel. All right. This is the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast coming live and direct from the Gloom Tomb. My name is Michael Rapaport. That's why they call the podcast the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. I guess I should probably... You think I should say this is Michael Rapaport, G?
Nah. Everybody know you now, man. You good money now, bro.
Oh, thank you. But I feel like I should introduce myself. You should never assume everybody knows me. But yeah, we'll figure that out later. Until we figure that out, my name is Michael Rapaport. Also known as the Gringo Mandingo. Also known as White Mike. That's a fact. Also known as Bird, white folks. But I'm most infamous for being known as the Gringo Mandingo now. A nickname that was earned, not given. Earned. I earned that fucking name, the Gringo Mandingo. I'm with G Moody. The last name rhymes with duty. He is the 2015-2016 podcast co-host of the year. Yes. An award that was earned. Yes, not given. Look it up.
Yep.
This is the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. We are known as the Disco 2, the Malachi Brothers. We've been podcasting off air since 1982. And let's get into it. I want to start the show, G, just to jump right in.
All right.
Charlie Murphy, the very unique, very funny, very nice Charlie Murphy, actor, comedian, obviously brother of Eddie Murphy. Passed away this week. And this is a guy that I knew. I didn't know him very well, but I spent good time. I hung out with him. I actually met Charlie when I was doing a movie with Eddie Murphy called Metro. And I know you and me, G, we loved him since he was in Jungle Fever and he was in Mo Better Blues, Spike Lee joints. Those might have been the first movies he was in.
Love Charlie Murphy, man. I could listen to that guy talk all day.
Yeah, the way he said things, he said it so hard, and he had such great timing. And, you know, he passed away this week. He was probably most well-known for the Chappelle Show skits, the Rick James skits, and all the comings and goings and the stories with Rick James. I'm Rick James, bitch, and the fighting Rick James and slapping Rick James and playing ball with Rick James. And, you know, I wanted to make sure we took a minute to give him the love and the respect that he deserved. And again, I'm just going to say, you know, the time I spent with just a nice dude, like his disposition on screen, he seemed like he was like tough and sort of, you know, sort of like mean. Such a nice dude. Nice to everybody. Always was nice to everybody. And I think one of the reasons why he didn't, you know, sort of have as much success as he probably deserved is because he looked just like his brother Eddie Murphy. Those are shoes to fill. It's almost like almost like fraternal twins. Like they look exactly the like identical twins.
Yes.
But the talent was immense, and he carved out a really, really great name for himself and a reputation for himself. I wanted to tell you this story. So when I was doing Metro with Eddie Murphy, I haven't talked about this much, but when I was growing up, when Eddie Murphy was popping off, I don't know if it was like 82, 83, maybe 81, 82, when he first started on Saturday Night Live. We don't fact check here at the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast, but when Eddie was really like popping off on Saturday Night Live. I mean, I was so young that sometimes I would fall asleep before the show came on.
Right.
Like staying up till 11:30, like for whatever, 11, 12-year-old was like, you know, you didn't always do it. You'd fall asleep early. Especially because, as G could attest, we were the type of kids, we weren't on video games, we weren't playing with a phone. We were out on a Saturday and a Sunday playing something all day, every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Hoops.
Hooping. I was playing football. I mean, anything. But hanging anything. Out, walking around, playing in the park, anything. It was no... So when Saturday evening came, you were tired.
Stick ball, punch ball, all kind of shit. Manhunt, ring alivio. We was doing everything back in the days, man.
Yeah, you had no other choice because your parents didn't want you around. And that's what you did to socialize. Yeah. That being said, I was in love with Eddie Murphy. No, Bruno. I loved him like the rest of the world. But I mean, I fucking loved Eddie Murphy. Like he's one of the reasons why I wanted to be an actor. Like he inspired the shit out of me before I even wanted to be an actor. But then when he came out with Delirious, and then he started making the movies and 48 Hours and Trading Places. I mean, this guy was everything to me. You remember I had that little calendar that you get from amusement parks, G? I still have a picture.
Yeah, I remember.
And what did it say on it?
The next Eddie Murphy.
Yep, I had a picture of it, and I had put, you know, you could put a little thing on it, like your name or your tagline. I put the next Eddie Murphy. This is when I had decided to be an actor. It's like 89. Yeah. I got it in Virginia. I was down there in Norfolk. I mean, he inspired me crazy. So when I finally got a chance to work with him on this film called Metro, I was in heaven. Okay.
Right.
And I got to meet Charlie and I met Eddie, of course, and I'm working with him. And this is tying into Charlie and the Rick James story. So I'm working with Eddie Murphy literally every single day. I'm like fucking bugging the fuck out. I'm bugging. Right. And I've already been acting for a good amount of years. I just came off of Copland and a bunch of stuff, you know, but I had just finished Copland, and Eddie Murphy was such a big fan of De Niro. He was asking me all these questions about De Niro and what's he like, as if, you know, he was a fan, and we would go back and forth, and me and Eddie Murphy would do lines from Raging Bull. He loved Raging Bull as much as I did, and we would just throw lines at each other all day. The movie was a disappointment. The movie was whack. I mean, I think it's a really disappointing movie. It was a real disappointment to me because, you know, like the banter and the kind of shit talking that you hear me doing here, we were trying to do that. The director just was trying to do some other shit. He thought he was making Seven with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman.
Oh.
He's bugging. Oh. He really was referencing Seven. I'm like, yo, let me and Eddie live, man. We freaking off. That's beside the point. So I remember one day we were in a car scene, and somehow we got around to talking about Prince at the time. This is like 95, 96. I don't remember when we did it. 95, 96, maybe 97.
Right.
And maybe a Prince song came on in the car. And you know, Eddie loved music, so he's like dance, talking to the song. He's like, yo, he's a genius or something like that. And I ask him, did you ever meet Prince? And he's like, fuck yeah, I met Prince. You know, I hang out with him and all that shit. I'm like, oh, shit. And then, you know, I'm like asking him if he ever met Prince, as if he's like a schmo like me, who, you know, who's like on the fringes. Eddie Murphy. So Eddie's telling me, yo, and he could play ball. And I'm like, word? He's like, I was like, basketball? He's like, yeah, yo, Prince has got game. Prince is nice. And I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Prince
and,
is
and
nice.
I told you
that
this story before. And he's like, no, I'm telling you, man. He goes, yo, we went out to his house. We were in Minnesota, and it was me, Charlie. He always said Charlie. He never said Charlie. Eddie called his brother Charlie. He said, it was me, Charlie, and it was, you know, this one and that one. And we got to his crib, and he was like, yo, we're going to play ball. And he said, you know, Charlie was like, man, get the fuck out of here. You know how he talked that New York, get the fuck out. Y'all can't play ball. And Charlie was like, yo, we're gonna play. And Prince was like, yo, I'm ready. And then Charlie said, fuck, we going to play shirts first, blouses. And Eddie told me that story. So when Dave Chappelle hooked up with Charlie Murphy and they were doing the Chappelle show, and Charlie Murphy was telling his true Hollywood stories, I had already heard the story from Eddie Murphy's mouth. And when Charlie was telling that story on the Dave Chappelle show, I knew the punchline because Eddie had already told me about it. And, you know, it was just something I never forgot, because I was hearing Eddie Murphy talk about Prince and playing ball with Prince with his brother Charlie, And, you know, that's my little Charlie Murphy story. So I wanted to just make sure that we shouted him out and, you know.
Oh, absolutely,
and,
man.
Yeah, it's a shame. Young dude, 57 yeah. years old. It's I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast. We're going to listen to a little funk, and we're going to be right back. The I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast is sponsored by Casper Mattress, an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. You could try a Casper mattress for 100 nights risk-free in your home. If you do not love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. With over 20,000 reviews online and an average of 4.8 stars, Casper is quickly becoming the internet's most popular mattress. They have sheets, they have pillows, they even have doggy beds. Go to Casper.com. Save $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/Rappaport. Use the promo code Rappaport. Try a Casper mattress 100 nights risk-free in your home. If you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. Go to www.casper.com/Rappaport. All right, this is the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. G Moody, last name rhymes with duty.
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, I know. I know you're here. where do you want to start, G?
Let's start with Tony Romo being paraded around as if he won 10 Super Bowls.
Tony Romo being paraded around as if he found the cure for fucking cancer.
Yeah.
Well, what is going on in Dallas? Tony Romo, he ain't no superhero. He ain't Aquaman. He ain't Superman. He wasn't even Troy Aikman. Ha! This dude was a good quarterback, but he wasn't Brett Favre or Tom Brady. He wasn't even Roger Staubach. He's not even Eli Manning. I don't know what the big shenanigans are over Tony Romo. Yo, he had a good career. Unfortunately, the injuries caught up with him, and that's it. 14 years as an NFL quarterback. That's a blessing. You know, that's a blessing.
Yeah. Like,
your time is over. The guy had broken backs and kept coming. I mean, broken backs and serious injuries. And then they're parading him around like he was that dude. He was not that dude.
Never. Yo, never. The guy is known. He's notorious for choking in the big moments. So how is he able to get paraded around as if he won mad playoff games? He got him to the... Yo, this dude don't deserve that. Like some Pope Mobile type shit where he just... Now he on the Dallas Mavericks.
And
yo,
you on the Dallas Mavericks. And they're like, well, he was a good guy. I'm a good fucking guy. I don't see the Knicks suit me up in the last meaningless game and down there against the Sixers. I'm a good fucking guy. I'm on the public front lines taking hits every day for the Knicks. This is professional basketball. Mark Cuban, you are bugging, my man. You're bugging.
And you made a documentary about the Knicks, and they still don't have you suit up.
Gerald Moody, as God is my witness, I have actual fucking dreams. And I'm not talking about daydreams. I'm talking about dreams while you're sleeping. At 47 years old, that I still get a chance to play for the Knicks. I never got offered to be on the layup line and to do all that fly shit. They never give me any fucking uniforms.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't give me shit. And Tony Romo, he signed for the Mavericks for one day, and he wants to get in, and they're yucking it up, and they're hooting and hollering. Yo, Brett Favre, Tom Brady, the great quarterbacks, you at certain points in the game, Dan Marino, these dudes, Joe Montana, you would wait for them to lead their team and catch up. With Tony Romo, you would wait for him to lead his team and fuck up. It happened time and time again. And then he ousted my man Phil Simms, who has two rings. One time he didn't make it to the Super Bowl because he was hurt, but he got them rings and things, two rings and things.
Yeah, he did his thing.
As if Tony Romo's going to come in there and be able to announce. Jim Nantz is going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Tony Romo's like, I feel like Cam might fumble here. Be like, how do you know that? Well, that's what I would have done. Motherfucker, we're not talking about you. Call a game, man. Jim Nance is going to be like, we know what you did. You know Tony Romo was going to make a mistake, but not everybody's doing that shit. They're carting this guy around like he was the reason for world peace. He is this week's famous white person with no lips. That's the respect we give you. Just because he had a couple of dates with some big time chicks doesn't mean you big time, Tony Romo. And somebody said, oh, he should be on your stick man list. I was like, motherfucker, are you kidding? You, first of all, don't tell me who should be on the stick man list, number one. Number two, just because you had a couple of days in the sun with Jessica Simpson and some other country singers, that ain't no stick man list. You're supposed to do that. You're the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, and that's all you pulled off for 14 years. I know he got married young, but you ain't no stick man. You ain't no Coxman. You ain't no Burgess Meredith. You ain't no Warren Beatty. I don't even have you in the discussion. You're not even no Joe Willie Namath. You know what kind of damage Joe Willie Namath did up and down Broadway and Madison Avenue during the 60s and the early 70s? Joe Willie Namath with the fur coat? That is a stick man. That is a coxman. Talk to me about Tony Romo being a coxman. Tony Romo being a stick man.
And Joe Namath went at Susie Colbert of ESPN. So he was doing stickman shit way up into his 70s.
What he did in New York, we're talking about world-class coxman work.
Yeah.
Super Bowl for the New York Jets, the unheralded underdog New York Jets. He had the cleft chin, the nice hair, the laid-back swag, and he was throwing the rock down the field. He wasn't getting no interceptions. He's out there playing. He's playing with like a soft ass T-shirt as a helmet.
Yeah,
Joe Willie Namath. That's a coxman. This is a man who racked up numbers on the field and off the field. I don't want to hear no more about Tony fucking Romo. Tony fucking Tony Baloney. Gee,
Tony Romo is equivalent to like Randy Whitman in the NBA. Like you're not a star, B. You on the team. And you fucking up when we need you the most. So
you're not even Steve Kerr as a player. Steve Kerr knocked down shots to get them the rings and things.
Yeah. That's why I didn't call him. Yo, this guy is getting too much props. How many playoff games did this dude win in 14 years?
Yo, I don't fact check.
One?
But there weren't a lot. He's more famous for the games he lost and the way he lost them. And it wasn't like he was like one of those dudes on a bad team. And he was doing work. He was the reason why the Dallas Cowboys didn't get to the next level. And you parading this dude around in the Pope Mobile? Get the fuck out of here. Yo. This really bothered me today. We talked about this the other day, and everybody's seen it. This doctor on the flight from United Airlines to United Airlines Chicago to Louisville, who was dragged off the plane.
Yeah.
It's become like national news. Listen, we made jokes about it. Obviously, this was a bad incident. Okay, obviously, this was handled completely wrong. But G. Moody, I turned on the TV this morning on every fucking channel. Every channel. This dude and his lawyer and talking about his lawsuit as if this was like a monumental occasion. Like, this was big news. Yo, they asked money to leave. He didn't leave. He got smacked around a little bit. Now you're talking about you lost teeth, you got a busted nose, busted sinus system, and all that. Yo, my man, cut the bullshit. And it turns out that this Dr. Dow, that's his name, he fled Vietnam in 1975 when Saigon fell, and he was on a boat. He fled Vietnam on a boat, and he said that being dragged off the plane was worse than fleeing Vietnam on a boat. Listen, motherfucker, we know you're going to get a lawsuit, all right? But cut the bullshit, man. How could that, getting your little lip busted on a plane, obviously was upsetting, obviously was probably scary, but they told you to get up, Dr. Dow. Why didn't you just get the fuck up now? Get your money.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why this has become national fucking news. It's not like like there's some craziness going on where people are getting dragged off planes. You know where there's craziness going on? In the streets with people getting shot and their ass kicked by the police all the fucking time. Yo, I called for it. I asked for it. I said it didn't exist. G. Moody?
Yeah.
And those police officers in Colorado were about it. A 22-year-old woman, white woman with red hair, cute, nice, was body slammed. Body slammed in Colorado the other day. That was more scary than what they did to Dr. Dow. No disrespect to Dr. Dow. But they slammed this young girl to the ground. Thin, white girl. She's like 95 pounds. They could have busted her face, broken her ribs. It's like a little blurb.
Hey, I side with the cops grabbing money off the plane. I side with them. They told them, you're going to be randomly selected, and we select you to be removed. You know, you have to get off the plane, and you don't get off, then we got to physically take you off. And if your head hits the armrest and all that, that's incidental. Get off the plane.
That's incidental contact, Duke.
That's it. It's not. You were being unruly. You didn't want to leave, so we got to physically remove you. And you don't get to determine how physical it's going to get.
Yo, get Duke, get the fuck up off the plane, Duke. Who told you get the fuck up off the plane? Yo, Doc Dow, get the fuck up off the plane, my man. Fuck you think this is, money?
Yeah, you don't make the rules. They selected you. Either you get up or we're going to get your ass up. That's what it is. I side with the cops.
Word, I'm sorry you got your lip busted. Here's $5,000. Take a fucking walk now. This is national news. Every fucking news channel. Come on. I mean, there's so much shit. We're bombing places. There's bombs.
And Tamir, Tamir
while
Rice.
While this was going on, G, while the bombs were being set off across the world.
Yeah, man. Yo, money, you got hemmed up. That's what it is. And, get off the plane. When they tell you, yo, we pick you up, you got to go. You can't negotiate with the motherfuckers. These are police.
Yo,
get
Duke, they hemmed you up real nice, okay?
Yeah.
You lucky it wasn't worse, money. It wasn't no Rodney King shit. You got a little fucking busted lip, man. Go get some stitches in your shit and keep it moving, Duke. And the next time they tell you to get the fuck up, get the fuck up, money.
Yeah, and now he's going to... Now he's going to form some Vietnamese Lives Matter now. Some bullshit about planes and shit.
Fuck out of here. Yo, the Joker's Jinx roller coaster in Washington, D.C. stopped in mid-ride today with 20 people on it. The Joker's Jinx roller coaster at an amusement park in Washington, D.C. I don't fuck with amusement parks. Are you with roller coasters and all that, G?
Oh, hell no. I went on a Thunderbolt in Coney Island in 1979, and I almost fell out of this shit. So it was like a phobia now. I get scared when I see them fucking roller coasters.
Yeah, I don't mess with that. And this is one of the reasons. They had to get the helicopters, the rescue workers to get them front. They were at the peak of it. Hundreds of feet in the air, stuck. Can you imagine? Yo, I would have been.
I ain't with it.
You know I'm theatrical. It. I literally would have been. Yo, I would have been crying. You'd have come up there and have been like, what's wrong with this dude? I would have been fucking crying.
Yeah.
I would have felt like fun. I was on death's door.
Those rides are not fun.
I'm not with all that. You know what is fun, though, G? Miami Heat grind it out and bop it out. All the way to the last night of the regular season in the NBA. They had a sliver of hope. They would have made it to the playoffs. But you didn't. And you know who's happy? I'm fucking happy.
So LeBron ain't there no more.
You guys ain't doing shit. The good old days are over, you fucks. Yeah, like, well, all these people on social media, like, well, asshole, at least we were close. The Knicks, you guys weren't even close. This ain't horseshoes, you fuck you. Close don't matter in basketball. Close don't matter in the NBA playoffs. Pack your shit up. Get your white silk shirts out, okay? Snort up a little bath salt. Go to the nightclub and dance it off to some EDM, you Miami Heat fucks you. You ain't making it to the playoffs, okay? Alonzo Mourning ain't there, D-Wade ain't there, and Bron ain't there. The fucking party is over. And as soon as Pat Riley leaves, you guys are going to go to, you're going to be in smithereens.
Right. You still fucking with Miami. LeBron isn't there, man.
Listen, LeBron, you guys didn't come to the games when he was there. You left. The Miami Heat fans, I lost respect for the Miami Heat fans when you walked out and you missed collectively the Ray Allen shot versus the Spurs, and I believe it was, 2013? You missed that, you dumb fucks, and you came running back into the arena dressed in all white silk shirts trying to get in, and they were like, no, you fucking bath salt sniffing fucks. You're not allowed back in the arena. You ain't real fans.
Yo, you holding that shit against the fucking, you're a crazy guy, man. You're like De Niro on that baseball shit. You're a fucking crazy motherfucker.
Listen, it is what it is. You know what else is going on in sports? This has nothing to do with sports. New York Mets, baseball season has started. You know, you said you're a big-time hockey fan. Obviously,
right.
We love NBA. Jordan Winter and Miles Davis, the producer extraordinaires, they love baseball, okay?
Yeah.
But Jose Reyes, New York Mets. You hear about what kind of shit he's in?
Yeah, he got a lot of baby mama drama, man. That shit, man. You got to, your loaf, protect your loaf, B.
Yo, he's out here. He got mistresses. He got babies with mistresses. He's paying, he's married, okay? And he has a mistress who he had a baby with, who he was parading around on the low for months with, and she's bad. Christina Sanchez. You saw the pictures of her? She was...
Yo, Jose, man, you only live once, man. Just take care of them kids, man. Do the right thing, man. You skied it. Mm-hmm. Now you got to deal with it.
Yeah, you skied it. Now your bank account is going to be depleted because he's paying her $11,500 a month.
That's
She's
great.
Trying to get $40,000 a month for this reason and that reason. Yo, that child support is no joke, okay? Yeah. His wife is bad, too. Yo, Jose Reyes, he's no joke, but you're going to be swinging that bat till you're 50, my man. You're going to be paying child support. The judge don't want to hear nothing. You play for the New York Mets. When they go in there and see Christina Sanchez, who's trying to get that money, the judge is going to topple over because she's a...
Oh man. He's going to be funding his whole village back in the Dominican Republic. Them ladies going to kill him, man.
Yo.
You got to keep playing. Baseball pays a lot of money. You got to just keep healthy and play till 55. Try.
Rock it till the wheels come off. Because, yo, you're going to be paying your mistress, and I'm sure he's got some other mistresses, and I'm not trying to dry snitch on him. Yo, but yo, my man freaks off. Okay, so I'm not condoning cheating, but if you're going to do it like Jose Reyes, because he got himself a bricklayer on the side. She's bad.
Yo, Jose Reyes is a Dominican stick man.
No doubt. And this is just the ones we know about. Yo, Jose Reyes of the New York Mets is about it. And his mistress, she's about it too.
About it.
Yo, she got $11,500 a month. She wants it boosted up to 41 G's a month.
Oh.
Yeah. They're going to probably find a happy medium somewhere.
The judge going to give her that because she's bad. If I was the judge and I seen her come in the courtroom, I'd be like, you're going to get whatever you want.
The judge is going to try to skeet.
Yeah. But this tells you got to, I advocate getting snipped if you're about to go into the league. Get snipped.
Don't do it to yourself, man. Don't be out here Sean Kempin wilding out, man.
Yeah, that should be part of the contract.
And this is a message to all the young men out there, okay? Because this could happen too.
Yeah.
My man from China, he's from southern China, he was freaking off having that intimacy with his wife, 42-year-old dude. Yo, my man broke his dick, Duke.
Uh-oh. How?
Just from skeeting. Just from fundamental freaking off, man. He wasn't doing anything weird, anything unusual. He was, you know what he was doing? He was sugar dicking, probably. He was sugar dicking. Yeah. And you know, it happens. It's like, yo, ball players, aggressive. You know, they tear their Achilles. My man from China, he was sugar dicking, and boom, he broke his dick. And he had to go to the doctor. They call it eggplant deformity. His shit swelled up. He had purple bruising on his loaf. And I wanted to just wish him a smooth and healthy and you know, speedy recovery, you know. Godspeed.
Yeah. Yeah, please, man. Yo, they said in the paper he was aggressive.
They said what?
He was aggressive and it just snapped.
Nah. You see, we're reading contracting. They want to do that because they want to try to make it seem like they want to try to, this is how they paint the picture, how the media tries to pull the wool over your eyes. I heard and I read and my sources told me that my man was just sugar dicking. Just straight sugar dicking. And just something went wrong. Yo, you see great athletes, you know, like they're in shape. Boom, they tear their meniscus. You're like, what happened? It could happen. This is a message to all the young skeeters out there, the young shooters out there, the wannabe cocksmen, the wannabe stickman. Mm-hmm. Yo, when you unfold the loaf, just know anything can happen. Anything can happen.
Word. Yeah.
What else is going on, G?
I see Miss Janet Jackson is milling about in London now that she's not with my man from Qatar, that billionaire. So marriage broke up. I see her. She said it was cultural differences and she needed her freedom.
Janet Jackson of the Jackson family.
Yes.
Rhythm Nation, Janet Jackson. She was married to some billionaire from... She tried to do the Mariah Carey. I don't know why these pop singers, they do this to themselves. And now she had a baby, and now she's divorcing. And what was he? What was the guy's deal?
Oh, said some cultural shit, man. You know that he was a Muslim. And, you know, women can't do shit, man. You gotta have that hijab on your head when you come out. You know... I think it's probably shit like that. You know, Janet's from Gary, Indiana, man. People think she's from the hood shit, man.
Yo, that's true. The Jacksons are from Gary, Indiana. Yo, you might have an impression in your head that it's like, you know, like the Waltons out there in Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana is a notorious shithole. And notorious, tough, hard-nosed, bottom-of-the-bottom hood. And the Jacksons are from there. This ain't the Bradys and shit. Like, yeah. They might have tried to act like they were the Bradys, but this wasn't like, you know, some Motown package shit. They came from a tough place. And Janet is from, she's basically a hood chick.
Yo, and yeah, you go out there and you gotta adhere to their culture and, you know, they ain't letting you drive. They ain't letting you, you can't be outside with your arms out. You can't go to the pool. Yo, this woman's from America, man. Of course that shit was gonna, she's gonna get tired of that shit.
And he had her out there in like the high-end Gucci hijabs. You look at the picture, she was hijabbed up, Janet Jackson. Like, she didn't have the full, the full thing over her face, but she was rocking it. We're talking about Janet Jackson, Rhythm Nation, the girl who sang Control. My own life. I'm gonna make my own motherfucking decisions. That chick, she was dancing on the chair with the jeans and all that. Yo, you got to dust yourself off and come back, Janet, because you need to come back on that Miss Jackson if you're nasty shit. You get your mind right, Janet. Hold your head.
Yeah,
you bugging.
Yeah, but no, she came up. She got 500 mil from a prenup, so I'd fuck that nigga.
Oh shit. Yo,
she got 500 million.
Damn.
Yo, the hijab, she said, I know she probably would, you know, Janet Jackson is a black woman. So this motherfucker said you can't be outside without your hijab. I know Janet probably was like, nigga, I ain't wearing that. I just got my hair did, man. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's hot as fish grease out this bitch. You know, the black shit came out. That's the cultural differences I'm saying.
Right. That's what the you read in between the lines.
Yeah.
You know, the people have spoken. We are a 5-star podcast. We've even got soft-ass t-shirts to prove it. Anytime you hear something on the I Am Rappaport podcast that is 5-star worthy, go to iTunes and give us 5-star reviews. You could do it as many times as you want. Leave us a review. We see everything. Ask a question. ILO us. Whatever you want. Hit up iTunes. Give us a review. The good, the bad, the indifferent. Whatever you want. We want to take over iTunes. They still don't show us the love we deserve. Yo, all soft ass I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast t-shirts are available at districtlines.com/IAmRappaport. We got the 5-star stereo podcast tee, the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast zip up and pullover hoodies, the full Iverson t-shirt, the Stickman t-shirt collection, the I Don't Fact Check, the hard body karate t-shirt for men and women. Go to districtlines.com/IAmRappaport. Yo, G, you're in New York every day. I'm in LA a lot. What's going on in the trains, man? They had a lady got her head caught in the train the other day, and nobody did anything.
Man, you know where we at. You know what city this is. That could be some hustle shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why nobody, that's how New York people are. You're not supposed to, because everybody's a suspect. Everybody's on the take. So that's why they didn't do nothing. You don't know what that is.
And then after this, a woman attacked an MTA worker on the L train, which is the train that I always used to take out to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
To see G Moody on Brownsville at 2:45 a.m. The MTA worker on the train was attacked for being a snitch by a man because they was pissing on the train in between cars. First of all, Duke. Yo, you dumbass. You're pissing on the train in between cars. You know piss is flying all over you. Right?
Yep.
I've done that when I was a kid. It's stupid. The piss just flies back on you, no matter how you angle your loaf. And then the MTA worker tells the cops, and then they beat him up. Come on, this ain't the 80s, man. New York.
Yeah.
We're better than that.
Yeah.
All right, G, that's it, man. That's it. We're done. Shutting it down.
That's it?
That's it. It's the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Again, we're going to be on tour May 9th, San Francisco at the Chapel, May 11th in Seattle, May 13th in Vancouver, British Columbia. Tickets are available at www.iamrappaporttour.com. He is G Moody, the last name rhymes with Duty. I am Michael Rappaport, a.k.a. the Gringo Mandingo. And this is the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast, the only non-fact-checking podcast in the world. We're done.